Baker Mayfield, undraftable, off my board.
The Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
Hi guys, welcome into Chalk Talk, what will be now session five. We will be looking today at close coverages. We did last week an examination of, we did close coverages last week for session four. If you have not seen session four, please go check that one out when you get some free time. I'm going to welcome in John Stephenson as we are going to get ready to talk about open coverages now, the cover two, cover four concepts, which are some of the more commonly used schemes throughout levels of various high school, I mean, even middle schools are doing a lot of this stuff, middle, high, and college and into the NFL. So, John, how are you, man?
Doing great, Jake. Thanks for having me again.
Of course, man, of course. So we are going to try to fit as best we can this, I don't know, this thing's kind of formatting strange on the right side here. We'll see if I can get this to come across cleanly. We might need to do it... That's okay. That's perfectly.
We're stuck with technology on the show.
It is. We should be better. I should be better, but here we are. We'll try our best to put it on the right side screen and make it work.
Nah, we'll muddle through.
See if we can. All right. So we're going to start with cover two, cover four. I've done my best to find some quick draw ups just to go over the basics of it. Talk to folks about the premise of cover two, cover four, open coverage. Like, if you're running this scheme, you know, you're coaching at the high school level, John, or you're wherever, you're implementing your scheme down the line, what are the advantages to running open coverage stuff, deep safety stuff, and why do you think a lot of teams choose to do so?
So, you know, going back to last week, we talked about middle of the field closed coverages. So we're going to flip it this week. We're going to MOFO, my favorite. So middle of field open. So these are your two high coverages with cover four, Tampa two, and two man being your most common. So the big advantage behind these is you've got these two or these four deep defenders. So this is really more of a pass coverage, if that makes sense. With the way the math works, you're going to be short in the box versus, most formations. This is more of these are more pass plays. Pardon me, coverages that are used, throwing downs, third and long, and so on. Although, as we've seen, the Rams, Brandon Staley, they lived in four high last year, which is interesting because most NFL teams won't do that. As you said, particularly your cover four base. That's more of a high school and more of a college thing. A lot of NFL teams really don't run it that often, although there's been a huge resurgence over the last, I'd say, maybe three, four seasons, particularly as the Browns used it as a pass coverage that you want to use on your passing downs. So, but your big advantage is you've got these two deep safeties. So theoretically, you're protected from your posts, your fades, two-man concepts and so on.
Yeah, simplistic stuff. When you think cover two, who's covering the deep portions of the field? Your safeties are going to cover deep halves, which, leaves you a little bit susceptible to things pushing down the field vertically. You're calling cover two because you want to try to take away some easier short throws the offense is trying to take advantage of. You want to put a corner down in the flat. You want to force teams to throw into holes with accuracy. That's the kind of stuff you're trying to do. Maybe trap a team. Cover four is one of your first taught coverages as a younger kid because you want to, as a coach, especially when you're coaching varying skill sets, you want to be able to just make sure the deepest portions of the field are covered. And cover four allows everybody to, instead of being forcing your two safeties to cover halves of the field, they cover less territory, they cover a quarter of the field. I'm oversimplifying everything here, but this is just the general crux of it. Your corners are going to run down the field vertically with outside carriers, things like that. They're going to be responsible for the deep portions of the field instead of sitting, squatting in the flat. We're going to get into a ton of this stuff, but that's the general purpose of two and four. Deeper coverage taken care of. You feel a little bit better about covering every inch of the field laterally. That kind of stuff is what makes, I would say, what makes open middle of the field open coverages some of the stuff that coaches at the younger levels try to take advantage of. A little easier to teach, a little easier on your athletes too, especially, you know, if you're putting a single high safety at the younger levels, he's got to be able to range and do a ton of different things. Hard, it can be challenging. So, yeah, that's why they try to do it. We're looking to, and the last one we're going to talk about too, because I want to introduce it to you real quick, is what's called cover six. I mean, the general reason it's called cover six is because you have a quarter and a half, which if you add that up, you're going to get six, right? You know, so it's pretty simple in nature that you're going to get a name like cover six for that, because you're covering certain portions of the field. So you want to try to keep it as simple for the back half. It's cover two on one side and cover four on the other. You add 2 + 4, it equals six. That's why the name is caught on. So if you have a situation, I'm just talking, John, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, where maybe you think a team likes to throw into the boundary quick, or they're a team that likes to do, you have a tendency thing here. You want to put a corner down in the flat, play half field coverage over the top, but to the field, allow your team to sit in quarters, have the principle for quarters. It allows some variation there.
Yeah, and it's also when you have a stud X, when the offense wants to isolate that stud X receiver backside, you can create essentially a high-low, a two-on-one with your flat corner, with your deep half safety. It's also good, very good versus weak side run game, because you've got your corner down there playing force or contain from the outside, so you can pick up an extra gap there.
Yeah, so I'm going to draw this up essentially. So the beautiful part here is if, say, these are the hash marks, you're on the hash, talk about one to go to the X receiver right here, okay, is the nice part of this feature is this corner can carry him, can do some things with him in this general area. If he's running comebacks, he's running a slant, he's running a dig, you know, if he's got whatever route tree combination you want to come up with, you have a corner there to take that away. But if he runs, you know, takeoff, if he runs a post, you know, post corner, you have a bracket here between the corner and safety to help out, almost a double coverage scenario going on there. And he's also talking about, if you look at run game, if you have some sort of weak side run game here, you have an immediate downhill player who can help in run support. That's what you're looking for. He has no threat of anything going vertical because he knows he's initially responsible here and he can play run game first. So that's the benefit, just so you guys on the visual side can understand a little bit of that stuff. We'll keep rolling. All right. So we're going to talk cover four first. That's where we're going to spend the majority of our time, because the Browns ran a lot of cover four last year. I think it was one of their more popular choices, and I think there were reasons for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they played a ton of cover four last year. I don't have the numbers at my fingertip, but if they had to be a top, I'd say 5-6 in the NFL, particularly like second half of the season. Like once those injuries started happening and guys started going down, and you had players out there that really had no business getting, you know, meaningful reps. Ooh, pardon me, in an NFL game. Yeah, Woods played a ton of cover four, particularly on like second and longs. Like that was his go-to in that spot. He just frankly, he didn't have the dogs out there to play man in most cases. So they're just trying to build a 10 up high and keep everything in front of them. Just very similar to cover three, kind of a similar philosophy. Just force the ball down to that kill zone, make tackles. And looking at this playbook still here, ignore the Tampa part. That's for the front. So we're going to get into a Tampa two or a cover two next, but ignore the Tampa part. So this is an over four here. Pretty standard stuff. You're going to have four deep defenders, both corners, the free safety and the strong safety, or the boundary safety, if you want to call them that. You're going to have three underneath defenders between your Sam or Star, your Mike and your Will. They're going to handle the underneath stuff. So note that last week when we looked at our middle of the field close coverages, we spent most of our time on cover three. And in cover three, we had four underneath defenders. So we're losing one to cover that deep quarter. So there's going to be some more room underneath, and it's going to affect the drops as well, the zone drops a little bit, just in how the underneath guys are going to relate to receivers and deal with the route distribution and where they break and so on. You know, past that, it's there are a lot of similarities. If you look under the corners on each side, you'll see in blue text the word read. So these guys are going to it's going to be very similar to what the corners were doing in cover three. Because they don't have anyone in the slot right there, they don't need to zone it up. So essentially, it's going to turn into like quasi or pseudo man, unless the once the receiver enters that player's area. So say 5, 6, 7, 8 yards downfield, you know, whatever the coach decides, they're going to play them almost with man principles. and they're going to stick to him at that point. Notice also in the image to the right here, when we get that closed tight end or that that single tight end on the left side, that automatically checks to our quarter half or cover six right there. You'll see we have a the corner under corner. You'll see flat, and then you'll see under the strong safety the one half there. So certain formations will automatically cause that check based on what the offense does out of them and what the defense wants to do. So in this case, like looking at this formation with the closed wide with the tailback and the fullback, this is going to be a run heavy formation. So in order to take some of that run pass conflict off the corner there, they're going to just put him in there as a rolled up corner so he can play that D gap outside the tight end while also having protection from play action. It's really tough to ask a corner to play man in that spot because he's in the run fit. He has that D gap, but he also has to take that Y. So what's going to happen if offensive coaches see a lot of man in that situation, right there, is they're going to play action that corner and then just, release the Y on the seam corner, whatever, and just pop it to him right there. So, many times when you see this, you're going to just roll the corner up and get a safety behind them and gain that gap back.
Okay. Let's talk about the coaching points here.
Yeah, so I'm not going to go into much detail here. There's a ton of jargon with the coaching points. Couple quick notes. You got a solid call to the Y side, so you're going to set the front towards the Y. Numbers two and number three, pardon me, those all deal with how they're going to how the underneath defenders are going to handle the routes, going to handle, what the one does, what the two does, what the three does, when the three becomes the two and so on. Again, there's a lot of jargon in there, and you don't need to have anything like that mastered, but those are just more basic rules and common situations that you're going to get in the coverage.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, more adjustments here. Nothing we really need to get into. Notice, though, the very first one there versus that nub side tight end. And oftentimes a nub, it just means a closed tight end. So a single tight end to that side, no receiver out wider. You'll see check cloud right there. So that's going to be your quarter half. The rest of those checks involve line movements, the pirate and the pig there. Don't need to get into why. Just running game stuff. Let's keep it moving here. Nothing that we really need to get into, I think. Okay, so this just a basic look at responsibilities. Now, notice that I have under the corners read 1-2, and then under the safeties read 2-1. So depending on the type of cover four that's being played, sometimes both the corner and the safety will read the number two receiver. Particularly,
let's make sure we clarify these real quick. Number one is outside.
Yeah, good call.
Number two is inside, and that goes both sides, guys. So mm-hmm. In case number one to receive down here, and then two is your tight end. Okay, yeah. So always when you're talking about, hey, did they take the 1, 2, or 3 receiver and that sort of coach lingo, work outside to inside. Just a heads up.
Yeah, always outside in, and then looking at the bottom, then the tailback would be the number three. So you don't have to necessarily be on the line of scrimmage; they can be in the backfield as well. And then when you get a 2x2 like this, oftentimes that's what's going to determine your passing strength. We're going to look to the side with the the three offensive players. So yeah, good aside there. So our corners are safeties. They depending on the system, depending on what they're being asked to do. They might both be reading number two. The corners might be reading 1-2. The safeties might be reading 2-1. Again, it just depends on what they're doing. We're going to have a curl flat player to each side, and then we're going to have a three receiver hook or three match player in the middle. That's usually your mic. So he's going to relate to the number three receiver. In this case, the number three receiver is in the backfield. So that's the side that he's going to open to. And then they're just going to follow their set of, prescribed rules, pardon me, based on how the route's released, based on their drops and so on.
All right. Keep rolling.
Yeah, let's keep rolling.
Best is visual aids on these things.
Yeah, so let's see. So this is an example of the base drop. Some notice that we have some disguise at the bottom there. They're trying to show single high here. So they got everyone down. They bail out late. Again, I'm looking at your corners. Because these receivers both have fairly tight splits, they're going to play with outside leverage, or they're going to align outside the receiver closer to the sideline. They're going to zone turn with their butts to the sideline so they can see everything, happen in front of them. Safeties are probably reading the number two here. Again, once that number two receiver, you know, goes over, like, let's say he goes 8 yards downfield or 10 yards downfield. He sort of becomes a bot. The safety is going to take him at that point. You know, he's not going to let him go. This is more like, I call it a zone match. So it's more like a zone match in that the, that, you know, the safeties, the corners, they don't know who they're going to have at the snap of the ball. You know, they can probably guess based on the formation, but they don't know for sure who they're going to have until the receivers actually run the routes. But then once they follow the rules and they lock on to someone, then they're not going to let them go. We call it buying the route. So once you buy the route, you don't let it go. And that way it becomes almost man principles and that you're not going to drop this guy. There's nowhere to go. Going back to the, can you go back to that play? Back to the first, please. Yeah, so you're going to see the Mike in the middle there. Again, our three-receiver hook player. He's going to open towards the back. You're going to see that the curl flat guy's outside. Their aiming points are kind of top of the numbers. Top of the numbers, 8 to 10 yards deep. But again, they're going to you know, they're going to alter their drops based on what the receivers are doing, you know, based on the routes, if they're vertical, if they're inside, if they're outside towards the sideline. They're going to get more width than you would see with cover three underneath defenders. Again, they've got more room to cover here. You see, we lose that. We lost part of that fourth underneath defender. So they've got more space to get into. Yeah, it's a pretty good. Yeah, keep it running there. There we go. And then they're going to mount or match part of me and run. Okay, so this. Sorry, gents. Let me check my notes, make sure that I'm on the right play here. Okay, so can you go ahead and run the play for me, Jake?
Sure thing.
Let me make sure I'm on the correct. Okay, so can we go back to the front now? Okay, so here's a key idea to understand when you're watching cover four happen. So what's going to happen when the safeties read the number two receivers is they're going to look at the release. They're going to see if it's outside, if it's vertical or towards them, if it's inside. And in most systems, once the number two does something other than going vertical, so he goes inside or in this case outside, it looks like they're running little speedos or speed outs there. The safeties are going to then turn and they're going to follow the, they're going to essentially double team the number one receiver. That's why we call it a 2-to-1 read. So two is yours if he's vertical. If he is not vertical, again, running outside or inside, then you're going to get snap your eyes to the number one and you're going to help double team him. So watch. Yeah, if you run it from the beginning and watch what happens, as soon as they see these speed outs, they're going to snap their eyes and bend their bodies toward number one there to, yeah. So to help with particularly post routes, you know, it's an inside guy that maybe can pick it up high there. They can double team fades if they're running some type of, you know, a deep in breaking route, some kind of dig, they're there to help that. So this 2-to-1 read, it's really important to, you know, basically safeties have to master this. They have to rep it. They have to practice it. The corners, on the other hand, they're generally going 1-to-2, but they're going to follow kind of the same idea. So if number one, let's say he releases inside immediately and runs some sort of shallow, then that corner is going to get his eyes over to the number two. It's going to turn into a double team on your two between him and the safety. So they're basically when one of the routes essentially eliminates itself, you know, from being run vertically, you know, outside, inside, then it's going to turn into a double team, although this stuff can change by game plan. Okay, so here, can we go back to that first one? I'm sorry. I'm getting myself mixed up here. No, play action. My bad. Nah, my bad. Trying to follow this on YouTube and on StreamYard. Just confusing myself. So special situation here. This is our smash roll. So I don't know if you've talked about smash yet in any of your offensive, series, but a smash.
No, basic route concepts will be next week.
Okay. So I'll keep this short and sweet then. So smash concept, everyone runs it. Middle school, high school, college, NFL, everyone has it in the playbook. You will see this concept every single NFL game from every team you see. And yeah, it's going to be something like this. It's going to be some sort of short inside breaking route, like a hitch or a fin, like a five and in. From the number one, and then you're going to get some kind of corner route or even a fade route. Now, like a lot of college teams particularly run the slot fade instead, where instead of getting a true corner route from the number two, you get sort of a fade that drifts towards the back pylon. But yeah, something like what Jake drew up right there. So what's going to happen when so we're going to have smash calls in. So this corner route from the twos, it's very dangerous to safeties Look at their inside leverage there. Look at the distance they have to cover to get all the way over to that sideline to play the corner. So what's going to happen is when the cornerback sees that number one receiver hitch up like that, he's going to sink. And he's going to sink on like a cover two corner, like zone turn with his butt to the sideline like you see. And then he's going to continue sinking downfield to help double team that corner out there. As he makes the smash call, and it's probably just smash, smash, smash as loud as he can, what that's going to do then is tell the curl flat defender to each side that he needs to take over that hitch route. And when a smash call is made, this is one of those times where the curl flat defender can get out of his power position or get out of, knees bent, chin up, chest forward, staying athletic. He can just turn and sprint right down the sideline towards that hitch route. He's going to hunt it. His only rule is, he can't let that receiver get inside of him. Obviously, they're vacating that side of the field. There's no one there. But it's literally like sprint straight down the line towards that hitch and match it. Because, again, the corner route is the dangerous route on this spot. If they complete that 6-5 hitch, then, they complete it. But this is another one of those pieces. It takes it just takes a ton of practice to master. And you got to have good communication. Your cornerback has to see it instantly.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, so here we have, okay, so special situation. Can we go back to the beginning there? So this is from the Super Bowl a couple years ago. So anytime you're talking through a coverage, you want to ask yourself, when you see this formation, ask yourself, what's the worst thing that can happen, or what's the most dangerous thing that can happen? And 9 times out of 10, it's going to be we're going to get 4 vertical routes, or in this case, 3 vertical routes from the trip side here. So how are we going to handle 4 verts from the various formations we see? So this is going to be a little different than what we saw last week with our cover three check. So going back to cover three, we had that lean post technique where our corner handled number one's vertical, our middle of the field free safety handled number two's vertical, and then our weak hook defender handled number three's vertical route. In this case, we don't have that extra underneath defender to do it. So what we have is called, in this system, I believe they call it Twix, like the like the candy bar. Most systems call this poach, like poach a rabbit, or steal is another common one. I don't know if you've heard any others.
Mm-hmm. I hear those are the most common.
Say poach is the one that most people use. So here's the idea. If we get a vertical route from that number three receiver that Jake's already drawn up, we're going to get what's called a special route, or most NFL teams call that a special route or a bender. So that number three is going to be coached to get in the hole in that middle of the field versus middle of the field open like we have here versus middle of the field closed like cover three. He's going to be coached to cross that safety's face. But either way, he's going to be coming towards that weak safety. So they're going to push the coverage strong, the corner, the strong curl flat, the free safety, and the three receiver match. They're all going to push to that trip side. Backside, the corner's going to man up on that single receiver. I think that's Kelsey there on the X. It's true man coverage. It's like cover zero. Like, it doesn't matter where that route releases. He's not passing it off. He's falling wherever it goes. And then the will's going to match the tailback on whatever he runs. The weak safety, he's going to key the number three receiver's release. Down one more. Yeah, there we go. So he's going to be keying that number three receiver's release. If that receiver releases vertical, if he runs that special or that bender route, he's going to have to come towards the safety. And then once he crosses a certain barrier, again, it just, probably depends on the team, like how deep is it, or do they tie it in with their steps? It's going to be different system to system. But when he hits a certain point, that route becomes the number three, the boundary safety's responsibility. He's going to take it. Yeah, I can go ahead and let it run here. You're going to see at the snap, he's going to turn towards it. Yeah, you can see him turning. Yeah, once he hits a certain point, it's like it's man coverage now. This is your zone match principle. Like, once it hits a certain point, you just play it like man coverage at this point. It doesn't matter where he runs from there. You bought that route, it's yours. And this is one of the most common ways that teams like to bang or to like to hit teams that want to push, play zone coverage, and then push it strong towards trips. So it's a three receiver surface. And another example right here. Okay, same idea. So you look at your weak safety. He was hiding himself. You can see him turning towards the route. Again, once it breaks a certain point, let's say 8 yards, it becomes the weak safety's route. He's got to match it. He's got to take it where it goes. Yeah, in this case, they're going to sit it down in front of him. That's another thing you'll see teams do. They'll run that bender, that special route from you, make you carry it vertically. And then on the next, like, third and eight, they'll set it down at, like, 10 yards just as you're getting ready to turn and run with it, get your hips turned around. Kind of same idea. Again, looking at bottom of the screen, you can see the corners matching number one vertical. Let's see. We got our curl flat defender. He's squeezing it. Again, our two is just turning towards the middle of the field once – pardon me, our free safety turns towards the middle of the field when two goes in. It's a pretty good route match all the way around. Really, the important point here is this poach safety, what the weak safety is going to do with that special route.
And don't throw that football across your body.
Yeah, right?
Hope that guy gets the role long term. All right, look at a little bit of the Browns now, guys. Cover mm-hmm.
Yeah, back to the Browns. Let's see here. I'm sorry, I can take that back to the front for me and run it again. Mm-hmm. Please and thank you. All right, so I believe this was a third and long play. They were disguising pressure with Goodson mugging that A gap right there. So he's gonna be your three receiver match. Again, he's opening towards the back there. From the beginning, you can see it's pretty easy to see that that four deep umbrella they build. Again, notice that the our curl flat defenders, they're using some of these same cover three principles, and that they're reading a run pass key. They're getting their eyes to the number two. They're looking at the release. You know, is he inside? Is he outside? Is he vertical? They're sort of altering their drop based on where the receiver's running, and also they're sliding with the quarterback, so they're going to melt with his front shoulder. As his front shoulder points, they're going to just kind of stay athletic, slide, and follow him. Then when his front hand comes off the ball, that's when they're going to make that break. So there are a lot of similarities there. Again, you can see the ball's out, so they're all breaking. At that point, it's go. And sort of same idea as cover three as well with the kill zone. So we want to force the ball out. We have this 5-yard no cover zone, so we're not actually, physically touching routes within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. You know, we can get our width as we need to stay with them, but we're not running up to a receiver that's just hanging around at the line of scrimmage, until they cross that 5-yard no cover zone, and then we're forcing it out and we're making a leverage tackle, a player on each hip.
Smash to the bottom of the screen here from a tight set, from a bunch. I mean, it's a form of smash, a little deeper 10-yard curl, but you're getting that over-under concept.
Yeah, well, giving you that's an OVS right there. So they're giving you that outside vertical flood or that sail. Same idea. We got a flat route. We got a 10 and in, and then we got a corner route hitting behind it, just trying to get a good little stretch there.
Imagine you got a smash call. I mean, I know he's eyeing back to mm-hmm. his side anyway, or, number three in this trip's look, but – he's hauling ass. You look at, I think it's B.J. Goodson there. He's hauling ass underneath as quick as he can. And quarterback's reading him too. If it's cover four, his eyes. I mean, Lamar throws it, but if he wants to pull him and try to find this curl window, he can do that. I mean, curl flat stuff, and you're always keying that invert backer there. So I mean, you'll take that throw all day. It's an easy NFL coverage.
Yeah, definitely.
They want to dump that off. Right now, that's the point of the defense, is you want them making those throws, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Again, that's force it down into the kill zone, make a tackle. Yeah, that's exactly what they're trying to do. And I think this was like a third and nine. I want to say it was third and nine, third and 10, something like that.
Don't always be fooled. Like cover four guys, you think like corners have to be 7 yards off. They can disguise the shit out of this stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Down here at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, it's cover two. He's not running with his ass down here. He's passing them off.
We'll see one of those later. Yeah, absolutely. So this is our poach or our tricks check again. We got three vertical. We got beat here. Can't let him get by like that. But sorry, it was
definitely. Definitely.
The flesh was weak there.
Sandejo. I think Sandejo gets caught Lesman hopping inside, cheating to the dig or something there. I'm not sure what he's doing.
I'm not sure if his eyes, I don't know if he thought that maybe he had a look. Maybe there was a tendency where they sit that route down, like just past the sticks. But yeah, he got caught flat footed there. And as a DB, you can't ever stop your feet. This is and what happened.
I'll also draw a note to the my favorite DB thing is where a guy's running naked past you. He's wide open. He quarterback misses it, and you throw your hand up like
you throw you. Right.
One of my favorites.
Let's see. This is another, so this is going to be another 3-by-1 check. Again, in this case, our number 3 is a little sniffer on the left side of the formation. And you can see we're turning towards him, matching him down to the bottom. You can see our corners matching 1's vert, our free safeties matching 2's vert. We should be, we'll be manned at the top of the screen. And again, a lot of times, sometimes it's really tough to see the difference between, cover 3 and cover 4, particularly with the way that this system plays it. But I think I talked about this last week, but generally the your foolproof key is look and see what's happening on the backside over that single receiver. So if the cornerback zone turns with his butt to the sideline and drops, it's going to be cover 3. If he's playing them in pure man principles, particularly pressed up like that, then it's going to be cover 4.
Yeah, it's an auto check. I mean, if you're the backside here, what's the next threat? The next threat is the back out, and the back's going to get taken by curl flat. I mean,
it turns into man coverage for that will backer as well. It doesn't matter where the tailback goes, like up the middle to that side, he's going to have to match it unless he comes back strong, or what we call load flow, 4-to-1 one side of the ball.
Here's another look at it down, and then we're in a little more neutral part of the field here, down corner to the boundary.
Yeah, going back to that play, there was a little piece of communication I liked in there too. Let's see if we can run it here. See if I can find it again where someone passed the – oh, yeah, there we go. So Goodson, you can see as the receiver hook. So
yeah,
from the
try to highlight side, him for everybody.
We get that over from the number 2 right there, and you can see him. Could have gotten something a little more clear. You're going to see him communicate that route coming over and across. Is it? You see him pointing towards the safety.
Yep. Yeah. Yep, sending them off to him. And yeah, again, Sendejo is hyper-aggressive when he comes down, man. He really – actually, that might be red wine, actually. Yeah, it is red wine. But this is a long coverage situation. I mean, I would imagine if you're looking at the sticks, it's 10 yards to go. I'm not sure if it's first, second, or third down, but you're calling cover 4 in this situation, so you can put them in. Dropping this ball off, like you said, to the kill zone is perfect. Get your 6 yards on 10.
Ooh, yep. This is exactly how it should look. Then you got your profile tackle with a defender on each hip, inside hip, outside hip. Okay, so this is going now to Tampa 2, I believe.
I think this is our last one.
Apologies. We had one more there. Yeah, so this is another example of a smash call. So you see top of the screen right there?
Yep.
We get sort of a
– instead of a hitch, it's just a speed out.
Yeah, a burst corner and a speed out here, but it's creating that high-low outside right there. And again, you can see how quickly your curl flat defender just streaks straight down the line. You notice that the corner does not immediately jump that outside breaking route. He hangs until the ball comes out of the cornerback hand. So he's going to he took a couple steps, continues sinking with number 2. So if the ball does go to the corner, you got the safety taking it from up high. You got the corner sort of outside and down low. So the way the quarterback's really got to drop the ball in there. You want to squeeze that space. I mean,
quarterback's eyes are on the corner, and there's no way. I mean, there's just too much distance. These guys, you can get away with this at younger levels. If you can get a corner to bite up, he's not going to turn and transition. You start getting into college, and especially, good God, the NFL, these good corners can play it all. They can play everything over here because, they talk about these drills they do about putting their foot in the ground, driving, clicking and closing, or being able to transition from driving up to put your foot in the ground to flip your hips and get into to turn and run. I mean, they can play this stuff. So as a quarterback, you got to take, especially I believe it's second down here, second and long. You got to just take your 5-6 yards here.
Yep, get some positive yards and set up at least a third and medium.
Yep. Okay, let's talk Tampa 2. And the big part of this is the Mike linebacker who's drawn up here and special. Yep. Is that Tampa 2 dates back to. Go ahead. I'll let you explain.
Yeah, well, it really became popularized with those Tony Dungy Buccaneers teams. With Well, there's great players on defense. Yeah, you know, John Lynch and Derek Brooks and Warren Sapp and all those guys. But yeah, so your Tampa 2 is going to be a 2-deep, 5-under zone. And please note that sometimes people will say cover 2, but when you hear cover 2, ask what kind. So you can get 2-man, so 2-deep, man under, and then your Tampa 2, which is your 2-deep, pardon me, 5-under. So never assume with that. That's the moral of the story. Basic idea, you've got these two half-field defenders, two safeties. They're going to be responsible for vertical routes to their side of the field. So if we do have 1 and 2 going vertical, the safety is going to have to midpoint or get midway between the two and be in position to play both. You've got your 5 underneath defenders, but it turns into almost a quasi-cover 3 because with your 2 half-field safeties, particularly when number 1 runs vertically, they got to get really wide. It creates a huge hole in the middle of the field right there. So you have what's called a pole runner. So that's going to be your mic. So your mic's going to turn towards the
screen. You should do this with Schobert all the time.
Yeah, that's why. That's one reason. So Greg, Triple G always loved Tampa 2. He still loves it. And still loved it last season with the Jets. But yeah, Schobert was a phenomenal pass coverage dropper and could cover a ton of ground. So you would see a ton of that with him. And yeah, the mic's going to lay open towards the number 3, towards the passing strength. And he's just going to sprint downfield. And as long as number 3 is vertical, he's vertical. Sometimes it takes him 30, 35, even 40 yards down the field. Doesn't matter. As long as that player is vertical, he's sinking with them. Yep. And really, it's not necessarily expected that he's going to stay on top of this player, but he needs to be close enough where he forces the quarterback to put some air under the ball to give those half field safeties a chance to to recover and make a play on it as well. Your corners, call them flat corners or rolled up corners. In fact, if you look at the bottom of the screen, you can see the corner passing off that immediate in route. You can see him pointing; he's making an in call of some sort. You got two hook defenders there, sort of 10 to 12 yards over the number 2, anything that comes in that part of the field. Again, because we have 2 half-field defenders, they are not carrying vertical routes. They're gonna keep them out of the middle of the field or reroute them, force them to run the hump. But they're going to level off at maybe 10, 12 yards, just get their eyes underneath and look for, routes coming through as we see here. And again, just force it down low into a kill zone, make a profile tackle. I believe, is it pressure or tip?
I think it was tipped, but I can't recall. Let me see it one more time. Yeah, I think Sheldon got a finger on that. He throws his hand up afterward. Sheldon will let you know when he did something good.
Yeah.
This is a late disguise here. I like this one a good amount.
Yeah, so and you gotta have a mic that can go if you're gonna do this.
Jacob Phillips is a good fit for that. He can run.
He had a great game at Mike, week 17.
Yeah, this week 17. Yep.
Yeah, look great. But yeah, he's up there mugged in an A gap. So they're showing a pressure look. They also might be forcing some sort of check from the offensive line to create a one-on-one matchup. Maybe they're trying to slide the pressure towards the side that Jacob Phillips was standing on there. Create one-on-ones to the opposite side. I would guess Miles is there. And yeah, he's just going to, he's going to open it up and go. So this is one of those situations where we see that the receiver numbers can change after the snap. So, your 1, your 2, and your 3 pre-snap don't always end up being your final sort of your final 1, your final 2, and your final 3. In this case, the number 3 is running to the flat. Because he is running to the flat about the 40-yard line there, that means that the original number 2 is now the number 3. So they're changing numbers here. And because the new number 3 is vertical, our mic is vertical. Again, he's running the pole. Wide as he can. You'll note that guy, I'll run through. And that's a pretty good job. Pretty good job. You'll notice back at the start of the play, our corners, they're going to work to reroute. They don't want to give a free outside release to the wide receivers. If essentially the safeties are going to base their drop width on the number 1 receiver's release and how quickly he gets outside. So you don't want him to get outside too quickly because that forces the safety to get a couple extra yards wider to each side of the field. And then that middle hole just gets that much bigger. And if they need to turn their hips and break back towards the middle, like they might have needed to here for that vertical from 3, then there, it's just a couple more yards to cover. It's a couple more footsteps, and that can be the difference right there. So your corners are going to really work to reroute. they're not going to give up that free outside release. They're going to make the receiver work to get around him. Then they're going to zone turn, and they're going to just sink. And as long as nothing threatens, pardon me, the flat, they're going to continue to just sink until the ball comes out. Again, reading the quarterback's front shoulder. So I believe that this is going to be an example of, so this is a quarter half snap right here. So this is a 3-by-1 situation for whatever reason. Obviously, this would be by game plan. They decided that rather than man in that backside receiver there, they want to play cover 2 to that side, cover 4 to the passing strength. So our strong side corner, our free safety, our strong curl flat, and our mic, our 3 receiver hook, they're going to follow their regular rules, their cover 4 rules. And then to the weak side, we've got our rolled up corner, playing the flat. We have a half field safety, and we have our hook defender, or a weak hook defender. So we got some extra help there. Again, I don't know if – I can't imagine who the Panthers would have had, 3 years ago now, 3 seasons ago, to cause a half field check to their side. I don't know. I guess it could be something by what they do out of this. They could have been worried about weak side run game maybe, although I have to see the backs line here to – oh, no, they're not worried about – I doubt they're worried about weak side run game here with the
Maybe just a tendency thing.
Yeah, you know what? Or maybe because since McCaffrey's there, maybe in this formation, he runs a lot of weak side routes.
Yeah.
So they want to keep the corner just rolled up in that flat. So if he swings it out quick, they got someone there.
Yeah, that plays dead on arrival. It's pretty well covered.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a good route match. Definitely.
All right. That's all we have. That's the general cover 2, cover 4. Spent a lot of time on cover 4 because it's pretty popular for the Browns. Maybe we'll see whether that data changes this year or not. But, I think that with the data that got interesting is how well the Rams were able to use 4-6 stuff and whether teams will continue to try to emulate that or whether Staley takes that with him to, the other L.A., San Diego still. But
I think he will. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, I think you will. So we'll keep an eye on this stuff, and we'll touch on it throughout the year in our weekly film sessions where we look at the Browns' defense and we talk about what coverages they're using. And we'll see changes. It changed because they got different athletes all over the football field defensively this year. We'll see what personnel they switch to and all of it.
Yeah, I think we're still going to see a decent amount. I think Woods liked it in San Francisco. In fact, he pushed to play more in San Francisco. His season there was solid. So it's
they got the personnel to handle this much better now. Much better. So, all right, this was fun, John. I appreciate you, man. I will make sure to remind everybody that we will answer any questions you have, whether in it looks like we might have a question here.
What do we got?
What position on the field in some of these plays will the new Browns defensive players be playing? John Johnson will be much better handling the role that Anderson Dejo was trying to fill, and then Grant Delpit will be on the field trying to fill those two. I would imagine Jacob Phillips is your high runner there in Tampa 2. I would think you see a lot of him in that this year.
Whoever our starting corners are, Denzel Ward will be one. We'll see about the other, dependent. Yeah, you're going to see John Johnson probably. I imagine he'll be a free safety. I think he'll be a free safety. I think he fits best as a free safety. And what I know about this defense, Ronnie Harrison playing that weak safety or the strong safety, however you want to look at it or whatever you want to call it.
And that flexibility too. They can roll Grant on. They can roll Hill.
Could be flip. Could see Delpit out there in one of those spots. Underneath, God knows at this point, could be Troy Hill playing a curl flag. Could be.
I like if they take a backer off, which they have flexibility to keep really good players on the football field, whether they're in 4-2-5 stuff or whether they're in dime, big dime or traditional nickel or whatever. They have a bunch of different flexibility there. And they have JOK, who can be a really nice curl flat guy for them, like just play in with instincts in space. And he can play man match stuff too if they want to go 2-man, mix it up. He can cover, man.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
Fun group. I got to run, man. My son is about on the cusp of waking up, and mother is not home. So, John, appreciate you, man. Thanks for all the work you do going into this. Your job will be easier next week. I'll do all the work to get the route concepts cut up and all that fun stuff. Thanks, brother. I appreciate it, man.
All right. Absolutely. Thanks again for having me, Jay.
Yep. Guys, thanks for joining today. Thanks for checking it out. If you did not get a chance to watch this on YouTube, go watch it. You're just listening to the audio form. I think it helps so much to see the visual. So try to please do that. Check out all the stuff we have over at the OBR YouTube channel and on the OBR main site. I appreciate you guys joining us. Have a great night and go Browns.